One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Some houses are haunted by what they contain, others by what they've concealed. In the town of Elmridge Hollow, nestled among winding country roads and aging trees, there stands an old home with a reputation no one talks about. It's not the kind of place that ends up on tourist maps or ghost hunting shows. But to those who've lived there, the Overlook is a name that never quite leaves them. Tonight's story comes from one of our listeners, someone who, years ago, thought she'd left the past behind her. That is, until a visit from an old friend and a psychic with a gift he calls a burden reopened a door that should have stayed shut. You'll hear about the woman in the tub, the child who was never found, and the events that still echo in the walls of that home. But what makes this case different is how eerily specific the details were before they were ever spoken aloud. How a man who had never stepped foot inside the Overlook could map it out from memory. How he knew what happened behind the walls and what still waits in the shadows. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Tony, I wasn't sure if I should send this. I've written it 3 times and deleted it just as often. But after listening to your show for the past few months, I've realized I'm not the only one who's seen things they can't explain, things that make you question your memory, your sanity, and even your safety. My name isn't important. Let's just say I grew up knowing how to compartmentalize fear. I've lived in a lot of places, but there's one I've never really left behind. We called it the Overlook, even though the only thing it really overlooked was an overgrown lawn and a long-forgotten stretch of woods. I rented it years ago when my life was in a bit of flux, trying to restart, trying to recover from things I thought I could escape. It looked innocent enough at first. A 2-story colonial with sun-bleached shutters and chipped white paint. The kind of place that smells like old paper and linoleum when you walk in. The price was too good to be true, and maybe I should have taken that as a warning. But I didn't. I moved in with a mattress, some secondhand furniture, and the naive optimism of someone who didn't believe in ghosts. For the first couple of weeks, nothing felt off. Maybe a little quiet, but that's what I wanted. I set up a reading nook in the living room, hung a few pictures in the hallway, and made the storage room upstairs into a guest room, though no one ever seemed to want to stay the night. They'd all say the same thing. It's just a little too cold in there. I told myself it was bad insulation. Then came the shadows. They never moved in a straight line. They flickered like candlelight along the baseboards. I'd catch them out of the corner of my eye, too small to be a person, too quick to be a trick of the light. Once, while folding laundry, I swear I saw a shape dart from the hallway into that storage room. When I went to check, of course, it was empty and still freezing, always freezing. I blamed the wiring. I blamed my overworked mind. I blamed everything except the house. Years passed. I moved out, started over again. But this past October, something strange happened. My best friend, Elaine, came to visit me with her husband, Tom. Tom's different. He doesn't call himself psychic. But I've seen him freeze mid-conversation like someone just whispered in his ear. He always knows things he shouldn't, names, objects, rooms, in places he's never been. I was telling them over dinner about this old house I once lived in, the Overlook. The moment I mentioned it, Tom went quiet, just stared into his glass like someone had turned off the lights behind his eyes. Then he looked at me and said, "She was already dead when she was put in there." I felt cold all over, not scared yet, just deeply, deeply uneasy. He asked if there was a tub in the master bedroom. I nodded. He asked about the storage room, if it was across from the bathroom. I nodded again, stunned. I hadn't described anything yet. Then he began to tell me a story. He said the husband suspected an affair. He didn't have proof, not real proof, but enough paranoia to fill in the blanks. One day he comes home from work and there's a strange car in the driveway. He doesn't go inside, just parks down the street and waits. When the man leaves, the husband returns furious. He doesn't speak, doesn't yell, just grabs his wife and drags her to the bathroom. He ties a rope to the shower head and loops it around her neck. She was struggling, Tom said, but she got her toes on the edge of the shower step, managed to loosen the rope, but it was still around her neck, still cutting off her air. I asked him how he knew all this. He didn't answer. Tom continued, his voice lower now. He said she staggered into the hallway, gasping for air, one hand hitting the wall to steady herself. She was trying to hide, to crawl somewhere he couldn't find her. The storage room was the only place that wasn't locked. She pushed herself between the boxes and paint cans and tried to go silent, but he found her. He strangled her right there. No one heard her scream. That's the room I used as a guest bedroom. That's where I slept. That's where I saw the shadows. That's the room that never warmed up, no matter how high I turned the heat. And I hadn't told Tom any of that yet. He told me the husband dragged her body into the master bathroom and laid her in the tub. That was where she was found, but that's not all. That's not even the worst of it. Tom grew quiet, like he was debating whether to keep going. Then he said something that's been echoing in my head ever since. He killed the baby, too. I remember the room going still. Elaine stopped chewing. I felt the air in my lungs turn heavy. I hadn't even known there was a child involved. But Tom, he knew. He said the man wrapped the infant in black trash bags methodically, like he was packing something fragile. He carried the bundle into the bedroom closet and shoved it on the bottom shelf behind old shoes and folded towels. Like it didn't matter. Like it wasn't a person. That closet had always given me chills. I never stored anything in it. In fact, I kept it shut with a chair in front of it. I used to tell myself it was just drafty or maybe the hinges creaked too much, but now I think I was trying to keep something in. Tom didn't go into detail about what happened next, just that the man walked downstairs, poured himself a drink at the built-in bar, lit a cigarette, and shot himself in the head. Like the whole thing was a ritual, like he had planned every step of it, and the final one was silence. But that wasn't the end. Not really. Tom said the wife's lover was the one who found the bodies. He'd come back to check on her, probably still hopeful that everything might work itself out. What he saw destroyed him. According to Tom, the man never recovered. He's been in and out of psychiatric care ever since. Tried to take his own life more than once, but never succeeded. And every time he was interviewed by therapists, he'd say the same thing. "I still see her in the water." I didn't want to ask what that meant, but then I remembered something. When I lived there, I'd see her too. Sort of. At first, it was just dreams. Then glimpses, like someone standing just behind the shower curtain. I thought I was being paranoid. I once convinced myself that a neighbor had broken in. I even called the police. They found nothing. And now I'm wondering if she never left that tub. If some part of her stayed. There's something else. Something that still doesn't sit right with me. A year or two after I moved out, I heard that an elderly woman died in that house, in the bathtub, alone. I don't know her name. I don't even know how long she'd been living there. But ever since Tom told me the full story, I can't stop thinking, What if she didn't die naturally? What if the house wanted another body in the same place? Or worse, what if the woman from before pulled her in? And the storage room. God, that room. Tom said her spirit never left it, that she hides there, crouched between the boxes. Not angry, just confused, disoriented, like she doesn't understand she's dead. He said she sometimes tries to speak, but the words come out garbled, like someone trying to talk underwater. I always felt like I was being watched in that room. I'd wake up at night frozen, like someone was kneeling next to the bed just watching me breathe. I told myself it was sleep paralysis, but now I'm not so sure. And then there's the closet. Tom said he couldn't even speak to whatever's behind the door, that it's not just the baby, that something else might have come through because of what happened, like the death of an innocent opened a door that can't be closed. He told me to never go back there. And I won't. Tony, I don't know what to make of any of this. I don't know why Tom knew what he did or how he was able to see everything so clearly. But I do know this. The Overlook isn't just haunted, it's tainted. It holds on to things, memories, pain, maybe even souls. And sometimes it calls people back. Please don't share my name. I've already said too much, but if someone else is living there now, I hope they don't have children. There's something particularly disturbing about a house that doesn't just remember a tragedy, but seems to replay it. Our listener's account, if accurate, paints a picture far more complex than your typical haunted home. We're not talking about creaking floors or flickering lights. This is something deeper, more primal. A psychic echo that continues to vibrate through every inch of wood, wire, and wall. Let's start with the psychological, sleep paralysis, residual trauma. A cold room in an old house might be the result of poor insulation. A dream of someone in the tub could be shaped by passing mention in conversation or an image seen years earlier. The mind is capable of reshaping fragments of memory into entire narratives, and fear, especially fear rooted in past trauma, has a way of coloring perception. But that doesn't explain Tom. And how did he know the layout, the rope, the tub, the child? And what do we make of his refusal to speak about the closet? His insistence that something darker than grief lives beneath that floor. Psychics, if they are real, often describe their abilities as more curse than gift. And in this case, Tom's demeanor suggests a man who isn't inventing details, but reliving someone else's memories. So what if the house on Elmridge Hollow does more than echo the past? What if it traps it? Some paranormal researchers believe that sites of sudden violent death can act like spiritual magnets. That trauma doesn't just leave behind energy, it opens cracks. Not portals to another world necessarily, but fissures in reality that allow emotions, moments, and sometimes entities to bleed through. We don't know what happened to the elderly woman who died in the same tub, but we do know this. Death leaves a mark, and sometimes, if the conditions are just right, that mark never fades. Maybe the most terrifying thing isn't the idea that ghosts are real. Maybe it's the thought that they're confused, still suffering, still searching, and maybe, just maybe, some houses are better left empty.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.